And open your Bibles, please, to the fourth chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 4 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 74. We'll be reading the first five verses of this chapter. We'll read the verses responsively. Exodus 4, verses 1 through 5, page 74. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." And let's read verse 5 together. "That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." The second verse we read together is the text verse. And let's pray.
Moses was feeling that he could not do the job that God had called him to do. Moses had some kind of impediment of speech. I do not know what his impediment was. It may have been that Moses was tongue-tied and he talked like that. I do not know. It may be that he had a cleft palate and when he talked a little bit like that. I don't know. He had some kind of an impediment of speech. It may have been a northern accent. I do not know what it was. But at any rate, maybe he was from Boston. I don't know. But anyway, he had an impediment of speech. And God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of the land of captivity. Moses said, "I cannot do it." And God said, "But I want you to do it." Moses said, "Lord, I'm not a good public speaker. I cannot speak." And God said, "Okay, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you Aaron. He's a good speaker. But let him do the speaking, and you can just do the leading." And Moses said, "But God, I do not feel qualified." And God said, "Moses, what is in thine hand? What is in thine hand?" Moses looked down his hand. He said, "It's a rod." God said, "Throw it on the ground." He threw it on the ground. He said, "Now pick it up with the tail." It was a snake. I wouldn't have done it. The whole Israelite nation could die and go to hell, as far as I'm concerned. No way. If it turned to a worm, I wouldn't have picked it up. But he said, "Now pick it up." Moses reached out and picked that serpent up with the tail. At least he had sense enough to know which end to pick up. And it became a rod again. What God was saying is, he was saying, "Moses, what you got in your hands is exactly what I need. Exactly what I need." I'm going to preach this morning on this subject. I want you to, if you don't get anything but the title, you'll know what I'm going to say. When your hand is in God's hand, what is in your hand is enough. When your hand is in God's hand, what is in your hand is enough. I think we've maybe made a mistake in preaching on this passage, and I got a little convicted about it myself. We have said that you give to God whatever you have, and God will use it. Just take it and give it to Him. I'm not sure that's accurate. I think what God wants, He wants the hand that holds it. He wants you to give Him the hand that holds what you have. God wasn't saying to Moses, "I want your rod." He said, "I want your hand with a rod in your hand." So I'm saying when your hand is in God's hand, what is in your hand is enough. What is in thine hand, Moses? It's a rod. Put it in the hand, and what's in the hand, in God's hand, and that'll be enough. Enough to what? Enough to part the waters of the Red Sea. Enough to what? Enough to smite a rock and get enough water to feed 3.5 million Jews. Enough to what? enough to close up the Red Sea and cause the Egyptian armies to perish? Enough to what? Enough to win the victory over the Egyptian armies and give deliverance to God's people? Enough to what? Enough to lead a group of Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness? Enough for what? Enough for whatever you need. I mean, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? What's in your hand today? A trowel? Then you take that trowel, leave it in your hand, put your hand in God's hand, that'll be enough. What's in your hand today? A needle? Then you take that needle, leave it in your hand, put the hand that holds the needle into God's hand, and that'll be enough. What's in your hand, Moses? I'm talking this morning to some untalented people. I'm talking to somebody that says this morning, like Moses, I couldn't make a speech. I couldn't teach a Sunday school class, but what's in your hand? Give it to God, but give him the hand that holds what you have in your hand. Just don't give him what you have. Give him the hand. See, just as God wants to be more important to us than what he gives us, even so, God wants us to give him ourselves along with what we give him. Now, give God your talent. No, give God yourself with your talent in yourself. And I'm talking this morning to some people who are untalented. You can't make a speech. You can't sing like Brother Wober and me. Just want to check and see if you're listening. And you can't sing like Brother Wober. And you can't preach a sermon like Brother Hiles or somebody else can. You can't play the piano like Bob Olson, or you can't play the organ like Mrs. Colston. And you say, I'm not very gifted. I don't have many talents. Well, give God what's in your hand. I really shouldn't say this. I hope that doesn't embarrass her, because I love her dearly. When Becky, our oldest daughter, started playing piano, she took the piano. And she became quickly a good pianist. Within 3 years, she could play chopsticks fluently. Becky, she became an excellent pianist. Linda, our second girl, she started taking piano. And she became an excellent pianist. She loved it. In fact, Linda became a very good pianist. She could have been a church pianist. Becky is a church pianist. And Cindy, our baby girl, now is married, has two lovely children, second-class husband. But Cindy came along, and she started taking piano. Well, Cindy had 10 thumbs when she played the piano, and she couldn't play the piano. She just couldn't do it. Well, of course, we had dreams that she would play. Becky can play well, and Linda could play well. We had dreams that Cindy would play well. And it bothered Cindy. She just couldn't catch on real well, and playing the piano was not her long suit. And I remember one day I had a little talk with her, and I said, now, Puddin', you don't have to play the piano to please your dad. You want to quit taking piano lessons, you just quit taking piano lessons. I said, you just give God what you've got. And she did. The other day, I was preaching somewhere, and somebody said to me, I heard your daughter Cindy speak. And I said, wonderful. Well, how'd she do? And the lady began to cry. I've heard Cindy speak. I cry, too, when I hear Cindy speak. But the lady began to cry. And she said, is what she said. She said, your daughter Cindy is the best lady speaker I've ever heard. My mind wandered back to the day I had that talk with her. Give God what you have. Everybody can't play the piano. Everybody can't sing. Everybody can't preach. Everybody can't teach in a college or a Christian school. But everybody can take whatever he has, hold it in his hand, and give God his hand and what's in his hand. That's all God asks for. That's all he asks for. Give him, not just give him what you have, but give him the hand that holds what you have, and let him have it. And that's enough. That's enough. Moses, what's in your hand? A rod. That's exactly what I wanted, said God. You wanted a rod. All it's got a prong on one end where if a snake comes up to get to the lamb, I can put the snake put the prong like a fork here, put it over the snake's head and kill him, and it's got a pointed end, the other end, where I can stick the lamb in the posterior and encourage him to move along. And that's what you need? That's what I need. You need a rod? I need a rod. Well, why don't you need more? God said, I don't need anything but what you got. Give me your hand and what's in it. And that's all I need, said God. That's all God needs. God doesn't need an eloquent voice, a tongue. God doesn't need a booming voice. God doesn't need a high IQ. God just needs what you have in your hand, in His hand. That's what God says. What's in your hand, Gideon? What's in thine hand? Well, Lord, you're going to be surprised at this one. What's in your hand, Gideon? Well, I got some lamps. What else? I got some pitchers. What else? I got a few old trumpets. And God said exactly what I needed. You need lamps and pitchers and trumpets. That's what I needed. What are you going to do with them? I'm going to defeat the whole Midianite army. I didn't say I had mortars and guns and swords. God said, I don't need guns and mortars and swords. I need what's in your hand, placed in my hand. That's what I need. God said, give it to me. God came to Gideon, and I love the story of Gideon because I can relate to Gideon. Gideon was the timidest kid in his family. Gideon was the runt kid in his family. His family was the runt family of the tribe. His tribe was the runt tribe of the nation. And his nation was the runt nation of the world. He was the runt man of the runt family, of the runt tribe, of the runt nation of the world. I believe he was a runt. He was hiding behind the wine press threshing wheat. Timid. Sucking one thumb, you'll get that in the Hebrew. Sucking one thumb, threshing wheat with the other. Hiding. Little bitty old timid introvert. The angel of God came. I love what the angel said. All hail, thy mighty man of valor. And then the first three words Gideon said were, oh my Lord. Oh my Lord. All hail, thy mighty man of valor. I'm talking to some young preacher boy coming to Hiles Anderson College for the first time. You stutter while you talk and talk while you stutter, and you don't have much talent. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Give God what's in your hand, and give God the hand that holds it. That's all God needs. God, I get a little tired of people saying, boy, that good-looking one girl, if she'd just give what she has to God, God could sure use her. Let me tell you, God could use a girl that's as ugly as homemade sin as much as God can use the prettiest gal in a senior class. God's not bankrupt for beauty. He made the sunset. God's not bankrupt for beauty. He made the sunrise. God's not bankrupt for beauty. He made the rainbow. God's not bankrupt for beauty. He made the daffodil. God doesn't need strength and power and wisdom and talent. God needs your hand and what's in your hand. That's what God needs. What's in your hand, David? Slingshot. Exactly what I need, said God. God, you need a slingshot? That's exactly what I need. What for? Well, I got this big old giant over 9 foot 9 inches tall, and I want somebody to lick him. Lord, I didn't say that I had a machine gun. I said I had a slingshot. And God said, David, that's exactly what I need. And David goes down to take some cheese and crackers to his brothers on a battlefield. And he gives the cheese and crackers to his brothers, and one of his brothers said, now get on back, David, and go on back to your daddy and take care of the sheep, sonny boy. And David said, who's that big guy over there making all that noise? And he said, that's Goliath. He's a Philistine. He's challenging any one of our men to fight him, and if our man defeats him, we win the battle, and if his man defeats us, they win the battle. And David said, oh, why doesn't somebody go shut him up? And his brother said, do you see how big he is? David said, the bigger they come, the harder they fall.
Once again, going back to the original language, I'm a college chancellor, and I happen to know more of the Greek and Hebrew than most of you do. And he hollered, somebody shut the big brother mouth up. And his brother said, go on back now to the sheep. You're just a teenage boy. You're just a shepherd. Go on back. David said, let me tell you, Buster, a lion came to see me one day, and we had a tag team wrestling match. Sumo wrestling. And I licked that lion. A bear came. I whipped that bear. With these hands, I whipped that bear. You did? Let's go tell King Saul. They go tell King Saul. King Saul is the guy that should have been out there fighting Goliath. He was head and shoulders above all the people. He's the guy that should have been out there. King Saul said, what you want, sonny boy? He said, I just want to tell you, these hands killed a lion, and these hands killed a bear, and I can take care of old brother mouth out there. And Saul said, now wait a minute, son. You ought not to go unless you have armor on. Let me give you my armor. Well, as I said before, Saul wore a 64 regular. David wore a 32 short. David got inside Saul's armor, and David said, I'm sorry, David walked a half a block, and the armor didn't move. And David said, I can't use this. I didn't have this on when I licked that bear. I didn't have this on when I licked that lion. He said, let me out of this thing. Let me go get it. What you got in your hand? Got a sling. God said, that's exactly what I need. Let me tell you something. God is not bankrupt for power. God just needs you and what's in your hand. That's all. Give God your hand and give God what's in it and God will use it. What's in your hand, David? I got a slingshot. Good. That's exactly what I want to kill Goliath. What's in your hand, Gideon? I got some pitchers and I got some lamps and I got some trumpets. Good. That's exactly what I need to defeat the Midianite army. What's in your hand, Moses? I've got a rod. Good. That's exactly what I need to lead the Israelites out of bondage and across the Red Sea. It's exactly what I need. What's in your hand, lad? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God said, that's exactly what I need. For what? Well, I got 5,000 men here to feed, plus the women and children. I got probably 20,000 people here need to be fed. And that's exactly what it's going to take to feed them. God, you having the same trouble Brother Hiles had the other day, aren't you? You got a little problem there. They're going to think you've had a stroke. God, you said that all you want is 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and you'll feed 20,000 people. God said, that's exactly what it takes. And that's all it takes when you got the omnipotence of God in your, holding your hand. I just can't do it. I know you can't do it. But what you got in your hand, and your hand in God's hand, you can do it. I'm talking about children now. Talking about children. We got the and I hate this. We got the idea that you're not supposed to serve God until you become 21 years old. You're supposed to serve God when you're 14. You're supposed to serve God when you're 15. You're supposed to serve God when you're 12. Teenage years is not all playtime. It's serving God time. What's in your hand, teenager? What's in your hand, child? What's in your hand, college student? What's in your hand, high school student? Hold it in your hand. Give God your hand. Keep what you've got. Let God control the hand that controls the rod. Let God control the hand that controls the loaves and fishes. Let God control the hand that controls the sling. Let God control the hand that controls the lamps and the pitchers and the trumpets. What's in your hand, widow? 2 mites. The least of all the coins. Less than 2 pennies of our money. That's all I've got. God said, that's exactly what I need to run the church with. I hold it. He needs more than that here. That's what some of you folks think. That's exactly what I need. You say he needs 2 mites? No, he needs everything she's got. That's what you need. He wants all she's got. If she had $2 million in her hand, God needs $2 million. If she had $5,000 in her hand, God needs $5,000. But bless God, she has 2 mites in her hand. God says, that's exactly what I need. Well, God, here it is. Hold it. Don't want the mites. I want your hand. You hold the mites. I'll hold your hand. Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from this toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand with what's in it in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He can keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. What's in your hand, Mary? Box of ointment. It's exactly what I needed. You need a box of ointment. You who sprayed the perfume on the gardenia need a box of ointment. You who made the scent of the rose need a box of ointment. That's exactly what I need. What do you need it for? He said, I want you to take that box of ointment, Mary, and I want you to go to my son Jesus, and I want you to take that box of ointment and open it. And I want you to pour it on Jesus and anoint him with it and let him know how much you love him and let him know how much you worship him and adore him. That's exactly what I need. What you got in your hand, a rod? Keep the rod in your hand. Put your hand in the hand of Jesus. What you got in your hand, a box of ointment? Keep the box in your hand and put your hand in the hand of Jesus. What you got in your hand? You got a lamp or a pitcher? Keep the lamp and pitcher in your hand and give your hand that holds it to Jesus. What you got in your hand, the sling? It's exact. God doesn't need you. You need God. And God needs whatever you have in your hand and you holding it while you give your hand to Him. That's what God needs. We got a sick, weak need. Puny kind of a Christianity. Come to God, worship God an hour on Sunday morning, give God a dollar, put it in the collection plate or a few dollars. You've done your duty. You haven't done your duty. You take whatever you've got in your hand and give God your hand and hold on to what you've got in your hand. Let God have your hand and what you've got in your hand. Let God have your hand and your trowel. Let God have your hand and your hammer. Let God have your hand and your stethoscope. Let God have your hand and your rod. Let God have your hand and your mind. Let God have your hand and your IQ. He made your hand. He has a right to your hand. He bought you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Give God your hand and what's in your hand. Thinking a while ago about the stethoscope, didn't I? There are several doctors in the church. One of those doctors is Dr. Giragos. Dr. Giragos, one of our faithful members here at First Baptist. I do not know this is a fact, but I think it is. Probably the outstanding open-heart surgeon in this area. He reminded me again just a few days ago. Every morning, he goes to the hospital. Like you go to work to type, or you go to work to build a house. He goes to work every morning to slice somebody's chest open. Boy, I'd love to do that. I could just pick the chest and pick the people. But every morning, he just goes to work, gets his saw out, and open heart surgery. What you got in your hand, Dr. Giragos? I've got a scalpel. Let me have it. Here it is, God. No, you keep it. Let me have your hand. Here's what you don't know. Many of you. Dr. Giragos, the day before he operates on somebody, open heart surgery. The afternoon goes by the room, sits down beside the bed and says, I want to have a talk with you. I want to ask you a question. Are you a Christian? I think you're going to be all right. I think you'll make it through. But let's suppose, for example, something happened that you didn't make it through. Would you go to heaven if you die? What's he doing? He's taking his scalpel, holding it in his hand, and placing his hand in the hand of God. What difference does it make if you let somebody live 5 or 10 years longer? If he dies and goes to hell, rather than die now and go to heaven than live and go to hell someday. Oh, we need some Christians who take their Christianity to the business and to the shop and the office. We need some businessmen who make Christ the head of their businesses. Like what Russell Anderson did when he was in the drywall business. Had a big building there and he put up on top in big letters, Christ is the answer. What's in your hand, Mary? A box of ointment. Hold on to the ointment. Give me the hand and the ointment. What's in your hand, widow? Two mites. Hold on to the mites and give them to me, but give me the hand that holds them. What's in your hand, lad? Five loaves and two fish. Give me the hand that holds the fish and give me the fish and the loaf. What's in your hand, David? A sling. Let me have the sling, but you hold on to it and give me the hand that holds it. What's in your hand? Lamps and pitchers and trumpets, Gideon. Let me have the hand that holds the lamps and the hand that holds the pitchers and the hand that holds the trumpets. Let me have them. What's in your hand, Shamgar? An ox goad. Just a pointed stick, that's all. Let me have it. Here it is. No, God said, don't mean that. You keep it in your hand. Let me have my hand over yours. With my hand on yours and your hands holding that ox goad, we'll slay 600 Philistines and we'll win the battle. You see, let me say this. God needs your hand like you need God's hand. God needs you to wield the scaffold that holds that hold that is held by the hand that God holds. What's in your hand, Dorcas? A needle. It's exactly what I need. A needle. A needle. A needle. It's exactly what I need. Dorcas took that needle, held it in her hand, and gave the hand that held the needle and the needle that was in the hand to her God. And Dorcas blessed the entire church of Jesus Christ and became a person that lived for others, and she got her name in the Bible for that very purpose. Why? Because all she had was a needle. It's all she had. God doesn't want more than you have. God wants what you have, and God wants all you have. Well, Dr. John Rice used to say, God doesn't want more than your tithe. God wants all your money. He wants the billfold of money's hand. He wants the pants the billfold is in. He wants the man in the pants. God comes this morning and asks you, what do you have in your hand? Have a wrench. Give the wrench to God, but hold it in your hand. Let God have your hand. I know a man in this church is a mechanic. Runs a mechanic shop. He doesn't know I know this, and he's dead sure to be embarrassed, and I won't call his name. That man finds people in trouble. I'm talking about some widow. Has a car and lives on a few pennies. Finds out she has car trouble. That man holds the wrench that he has in his hand and places his hand in the nail-scarred hand and fixes the car for that little widow and doesn't charge her a thing. Have you heard about Widow Hiles? Nearly. I don't care what you got in your hand. God wants it. And he has a right to it. What's in your hand, Peter? A casting rod? That's exactly what I need. I need a fisherman. What's in your hand, Joshua? A spear. That's exactly what I'm needing. What for? To defeat the city of Ai. Oh, but Lord, we've already lost that battle one time, the city of Ai. It's going to take a mighty army. It's going to take what you've got in your hand in my hand. And whenever you take what you've got, hold it in your hand and wield it for God and place your hand in the hand that has nails and scars in it. Bless God, that's enough. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What's in your hand, Joshua? A spear. It's exactly what I need to defeat Ai. What's in your hand, Paul? A pen. It's exactly what I need. A pen? You need that? Yeah, it's exactly what I need. Well, how are you going to use that? You can't stick anybody in the eyeball with a pen. If you could, you couldn't win a battle. God said, you see, Paul, up here in heaven, I've got some words that are eternal. They've been up here. Never was a time when they weren't up here. They've always been up here. They always will be up here. But I want to get those words to my people. And I've got to have somebody that's got a pen. And Paul said, that's exactly what I got. I've got a pen. God said, let me have it. Here it is. No, not that way. You keep it in your hand and let me control your hand. And the God of heaven dictated to Moses the eternal words in heaven. And that's what I hold in my hand right now. God's eternal words. I'm not talking about a translation. Fully on Moffat's translation. Fully on Goodfeet's translation. Fully on the Amplified Translation. Fully on the Revised Standard Version. Fully on the American Standard, the New American Standard. Hallelujah for the King James Bible. God had in heaven the words of God. I know what the scholars, self-described scholars say. Well, that's mechanical dictation. You just go ahead and use whatever snotty-nosed term you want to use, Buster. I just happen to think that God gave us His book word for word. And if He didn't, we can't get our prayers answered. Because He said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, unless there's some place we can find the words, we can't get our prayers answered. If we don't have the words of God, we cannot live, because the Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. I've got to have every word to live. Bless God, I've got it. How did I get it? Because the little bug-eyed Jew gave God what he had and handed Hill what he had. Look, some of you little runts at Howells Anderson College. To me, a runt's anybody that weighs less than 175 pounds. I'm talking about some of you little 5'3" guys. Wear 6 pair of socks. Stilts under your shoes. Heels that high. Timid, shy, can't make a speech. I don't have much to give God. Have you got a rod? That's what Moses used to cross the Red, part the waters of the Red Sea. I just don't have much to give God. Have you got a spear? That's what Gideon, that's what Joshua used to win the battle of Ai. I don't have very much. You got a pitcher? That's what God used to defeat the Midianites. Have you got a slingshot? That's what God used to defeat Goliath. God doesn't need anything you have. God needs you to give Him yourself and what you have. And by the way, you plus what you have plus God is exactly enough to take care of the victory. What's in your hand? A hammer? You give God the hand that holds the hammer. What's in your hand? An axe? You give God the hand that holds the axe. What's in your hand, a chisel? You give God the hand that holds the chisel. What's in your hand, a saw? You give God the hand that holds the saw. What's in your hand, a trowel? You give God the hand that holds the trowel. What's in your hand, a stethoscope? Give God the hand that holds the stethoscope. Give it to Him. But give Him also the hand. Wait a minute. What's in your hand today? What's in your hand, Mrs. Ramsey? A cane. God said, that's exactly what I need. That's exactly what I need. What's in your hand, Robin Moore? The handles to a wheelchair. And God said, I've been needing a good wheelchair. It's exactly what I need. What's in your hand, broken-hearted widow? A broken-hearted mother whose baby was just taken from your arms and placed in the arms of Jesus? A handkerchief. It's exactly what God needs. He needs a handkerchief in your hand and the hand that holds the handkerchief. Don't you get the idea of what I'm saying? He just wants you. That's all. He wants you. You know, we have the idea for salvation. Come as you are, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. But the same thing's true with a Christian to come to serve God. You haven't got the wherewithal to serve God any more than you got the wherewithal to save yourself. God said, you want to be saved? Or you're lost? On your way to hell? Without God? Without hope? Without Christ? Unsaved? Come, He says. How? Come as you are. You've heard the story of Charlotte Elliott. You've heard me tell it a dozen times. But I tried to tell Charlotte Elliott how to get saved. And Charlotte Elliott said, I don't understand it. And they tried again. And Charlotte Elliott said, I still don't understand it. And they tried another way. And they approached the gospel from several ways. And Charlotte Elliott said, I don't understand it. And somebody shouted, Charlotte, just come. Just come. That's all you got to do. Come to Jesus. And she said, well, I don't even know how to come. How do I come? They shouted, come as you are! Come as you are! Charlotte Elliott came that way and picked up a pen and wrote J. just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I say this morning, that same Savior that came and said, come as you are, and I'll give you salvation, also says, come as you are, and I'll give you service, and I'll give you power, and I'll give you blessing, and I'll give you victory. I'm looking at a man over here this morning named Al Byers. Al Byers, one of those fellows that wear six pair of socks. Al Byers is a short little fellow. Al Byers did not come in the top 10 in Mr. America last year. I think the bottom 10 went it out. But Al Byers, what did Al Byers have? He had a pen. He had a pencil. He could take care of books. Went to Bob Jones. He came to the sword of the Lord. A lot more handsome men at the sword of the Lord than Al Byers. I'm one of them. A lot stronger men at the sword of the Lord than Al Byers. But God didn't say, bring me your strength. God said, bring me yourself. Now Al Byers, for these years, humble, sweet, quiet, unassuming way, has just filled his place at the sword of the Lord. Now through these years, holds one of the top positions, Vice President of the Sword of the Lord, plus the fact he's probably in the top one or two or three as far as seniority is concerned. 31 years. What did he have to give? He had Al Byers to give. I thank God that God did not require a talented person. He couldn't have used me for these 40 years. I thank God he didn't require a strong person. He could not have used me for these many years. I thank God he just looked down one day and said, what's in your hand? And I said, I got a whole handful of poverty. And God said, that's exactly what I need. For what? Pastor the First Baptist Church of Hammond for 29 years. What? You need somebody that's got big, good-looking guy for that. I just need what you got in your hand. That's all I need. When I think about John Rice this morning, I can hear him now as he said, saying, the windows of heaven are open. He'd go, open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. He didn't want my garment. He wanted the hand that held it. He wanted me. He wants you. You're not saved this morning? You don't know if you died, you'd go to heaven? Naaman said, I want to be healed and saved. Elisha said, okay, go wash in the Jordan seven times. And Naaman said, I'm captain of the host of the king of Syria. You expect me to go wash in that dirty creek you call the Jordan River? Yep, said the man of God. Why, he said, the rivers of Abana and Pharpar, where I came from in Syria, are beautiful rivers. They're clear and famous rivers. I'll go wash in them. And Elisha said, you wash in the river. God said, wash in. If you this morning have enough money in your bank account, you could write a check for $1 million. You're in the wrong church in the first place. But in the second place, if you've got that much money in your pocket, you're going to have to come the same way that the rescue mission man comes this morning. If you've got a PhD at the end of your name and a THD at the end of that and a DDT at the end of that, I don't care what you've got, brother, or BBDs at the end of that. I don't care what you got. You've got to come the same old road that the bus kid comes. At the cross, where I first saw the light. The burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all day. You come the same way, just like you are with whatever you've got in your hand. This morning, if you want God to use you, you say, well, you wouldn't want me. Well, I got the rod in my hand. God said, that's exactly what I need. The rod? No, your hand that holds the rod. That's what God wants. Let him have his way with you this morning. Hear ye the master's call. Give me thy best. Though be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. Let him have yourself this morning. You say, Brother Hunt, I tell you what, I can't sing, I can't preach. Good, good, good. God just wants the hand that holds whatever you got and whatever you've got. And I'd like to stand up and praise his name and testify this morning and tell you, when I came to him for salvation, I didn't even have a second pair of trousers to wear. When I came to God for salvation, I had never yet owned a pair of shoes bought for me. When I came to God for salvation, I'd never eaten an egg in my life yet. When I came to God for salvation, I never tasted a hamburger. When I came to God for salvation, my mama was making about 25 cents a yard for mowing yards in the neighborhood, pushing an old push lawnmower. When I came to God for salvation, I had nothing, but I don't need anything. Not of good that I have done, except that to thy cross I cling. You come down these aisles in a few moments and say, I don't have any right to come to Jesus. I have not earned salvation. I do not deserve salvation. But Lord, if you want me, here I am. And the moment you say that and by faith receive God's gift of life eternal, he writes your name in heaven, forgives your sin, makes you his child, redeems your soul, prepares for you a home in heaven, and you're saved eternally. If you're here this morning and you're saved, but you think God can't use you, let me point you to a little wine press, and behind that wine press, a little timid thumb-sucking fella threshing wheat. The runt kid of the runt family of the runt tribe of the runt nation of the world. God used him as the mighty man of valor. God can use you. You give him what you have. You give him what you have and the hand that holds it. Would you bow your heads, please?